Welcome back to Green Lines. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. You know, it's very rare in a man's life that he gets to meet someone that respected from a very young age. So, you know, when I went through the charismatic movement, what they call the Jesus movement, I got to know from afar Marilyn Hickey. Because of my relationship with Oral Roberts and with many others, I got to know her as a professional, as a Christian, as a leader, as a powerful healing ministry. And now I have the honor to welcome her to my show. Marilyn Hickey has written a book, It's Not Over Until You Win. And I'd say that Marilyn has lived a life of winning, so we can learn a lot from her. So Marilyn Hickey, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to be included. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, yes, ma'am. I think of the days back when you first started doing radio and TV and thought it was pretty good. Now we're doing podcasts.
I started early in radio and TV.
Yes, you did. And you were successful. People ate you up. You're good on camera. You know how to work that camera, don't you?
I think it's a calling. I don't think it's just a desire.
Good word.
I think it's a calling.
I think that's a really good word. So let me just ask you, at this stage in your ministry, why write a book like this, your lifetime of experiencing the miracles of God? What are you trying to share with your readers?
What I want to share with people is the process. Because I think, you know, a lot of times people want to start at the top, but process is so important. So I say God is very economical. He doesn't waste anything in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, the process, we lived in Pennsylvania in a little town during the Second World War. And I was 11 at the time. And God began to draw me. And I would say to him, where are you? Are you in the Methodist Church? Are you in the Catholic Church?
Good question.
You know, I want to be where you are.
Yes.
And this is the beginning of the process with me. He said, I am in the Word.
Mm.
So I began to really seriously read the Bible. When I was 16, I got born again. So I say I got the author of the Bible in my heart.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word, too. So I want to hear a couple of stories from you about, from this book, if you will, about your lifetime of experiencing the miracles of God. What are some things that you've seen and you've experienced? You've seen so much all over the world. You must have some stories to tell.
Well, we just got back from Egypt.
Yes.
And had healing meetings there. The Mideast is in revival.
Really?
So they have a lot of Christian television coming in, which is transforming the Mideast. So I like to go into Islamic countries. Some way, I think they like old women, and I'm 88 and a half. So they come.
Who's counting?
They get born again, and they get healed.
Well, you're still very active. We don't have to mention your age. I want to mention your experience, the things you've done. Do you believe that now as a general, a four-star general in the faith, that you have a lot to teach others who are seeking miracles from God?
I want to think that. Again, if I can get people hooked on the book and hooked on vision, that's very key.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to influence in the States every generation. But I have grandchildren, you know. One of them is at ORU. I want to influence them, you know. So
yes.
That's what I think the book will do. It will help people process. You don't start way high. I was born in a little tiny town in Texas, you know, and I remember looking at airplanes lying on the ground and looking up at the sky and thinking, someday I'll be on an airplane, never dreaming I'd be living on them.
Right.
But again, that process, you know, of God drawing me and then watching your interests, and where you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into foreign languages early, like in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
I got into Latin. I loved it. I got into French. I got into Spanish, took some Greek. So I think watching where you are successful is a big part of the process. Now, I never dreamed I'd be going to these countries,
mm-hmm.
but that was part of the process.
What's been your favorite trip of all the countries you've been to? What was your favorite? What really moved you?
Well, in Pakistan, I've had my biggest results.
That's good.
So, you know, I've had 1 million people in a meeting. I could go again and have 1 million again. So I like the Islamic countries very much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like Europe. I like Italy. But I really love the Islamic countries. And
that's good.
I want to tell you how I got hooked into that.
Go ahead.
Frieda Lindsay, A Christ for the Nations,
mm-hmm.
mentored me. And so I said to her, what do you do? What's your prayer life? She said, well, I pray over every nation in the world every day.
Mm.
So I said, how can you do that? She said, well, I have a map. I've memorized them. The hard ones are Africa. They have so many countries, and they change the names.
They do.
So she had me praying over those countries, the whole world, every day. That was very key in my life, because when I would pray, I would have a warm spot for Islamic nations, you know, not knowing that someday I would be going and having healing meetings there. I just want to encourage people, stay in the process. Read your Bible. Let your Bible read you.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the Holy Spirit. See where you are successful. See where you are comfortable. And then, you know, as much as you can, feed into those areas.
That's so good. I mean, that's advice for our life. So what country is it that you would still like to see that maybe you haven't seen?
Well, I want to do a meeting in Bangladesh and also Saudi Arabia, and probably will do it next year.
That's exciting. Well, we sure want to cover that. I'd like Charisma News to make sure we cover that trip.
Yeah.
That'd be exciting. So what's your favorite Bible verse?
Well, people ask me that,
mm-hmm.
but I guess it's what I use in my books. Thanks be unto God who always leads us to triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. That's been the key verse for me, because a lot of times it doesn't look like you're going to win.
Yes.
And if you can keep in faith, you know, speaking the word, reading the word, but I like that one. That's why I like that for my book.
Mm-hmm. You sure did. So tell me, in other words, what people are going to learn and take away. What do you hope people know about Marilyn after they read your autobiography?
Well, I think the most I want them to know is that, you know, you start small, watch where you shine, and develop that as much as possible. But I think it's very important that you're filled with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. I was 23 when I got filled with the Spirit. That made a big transformation in my life.
That's good. So you're a day in the life of Marilyn Hickey today. I mean, if we can keep up with you, I know there's a lot of folks that couldn't even come close to keeping up with your average day, but what's it look like today? What's an average day for you?
In the morning, I say, good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. This is your beloved Marilyn. Because he calls us beloved over 60 times in the New Testament. That doesn't count the Old. I make coffee and I speak 40 promises of the Word. And then I read the Word. So I start my day with the Word, very much so.
Hmm. And do you think that's been one of your secrets to a long and powerful ministry?
I don't question that at all.
That's good.
I think that's been the key, frankly. I think it's the key to my energy.
I'm sure it is. And do you have a busy calendar for next year? Are you still planning to go?
I have a very busy calendar.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, people say, when are you going to retire? I said, I am retired. What do you mean? You're busy all the time. I said, retiring is doing what you like. I'm doing what I like.
You can't imagine not doing that, can you?
Nope, I can't.
Well, tell us about your family, the breadth of your family. What do you remember?
Okay.
Tell us all about your family.
Are you talking about parents, our husband, our children?
Well, your
or
children,
what?
Whatever, you know, your legacy. What's
my
coming?
My children?
Yes.
Okay. My husband was a pastor.
Yes.
We were not able to have a child. We adopted a 3.5-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10 years later, I had Sarah. So the son we had got into drugs and a lot of crises and problems. And Sarah was pretty easy. You know, mm-hmm. She went through some challenging times, but she's a graduate from ORU.
Good.
Yeah.
So the next thing I'd like to ask you, just to think about this a little bit, the miracles that you see performed, that God uses you to change lives through your hands, through your prayers, what are some of the things that you've seen in your life? How's God moved in the miraculous?
Well, I think God wants to do the miraculous. He says healing is the bread of the children. So I take that very seriously. And also, healing draws people, and they get healed and get saved, or they watch people get healed, and then they respond to a salvation call.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that very much. And basically, I don't always feel so good when I get off the plane in a country. I have jet lag. And I've said that to the Lord. I have jet lag. I don't feel spiritual. And this is what he has said to me. I don't. It's not your name that's going to do it. It's mine.
Yes, ma'am. And with a name like yours, that's pretty close. You know, there people come from around the world, wherever you are, and still pack out stadiums, don't you?
Yes.
Isn't that exciting?
I think I love to win the lost, and healing draws sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And so probably it is not just seeing the miracles, it's the people who get born again.
Yes.
And so we try to do follow-up with them. That's very serious with us. You don't want to just go in, have a big burst, and then leave.
No.
You need follow-up. So we always put books and literature in their language.
Good.
You know, so that works while you sleep, you know.
Yes, ma'am, it does. So the title of your book, It's Not Over Till You Win. What?
Right.
How do you define winning? In your heart and in your life, you look back over a life and clearly you have won. You've been a winner. But what do you mean by it in this book? What does it mean to win?
Success.
And define
that.
And
I believe success, it can be in your health. It can be in your marriage. It can be raising your family. It can be in your ministry. You know, it can be in your job. That's the key.
Yes,
it's
ma'am.
A process.
It is.
Well, it doesn't start with your biggest success.
No, it doesn't.
My biggest success was witnessing to my neighbors and then starting little home Bible studies, because people wouldn't come to church, but they would come and over a cup of coffee, a cookie, and the Bible, they'd get born again. And then those people put me on the radio for 5 minutes a week.
Mm-hmm.
And paid for it. And then the radio, you know, got syndicated. Then I got in television. And then I really got into international healing meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a process.
Yes, a long process. But you served well.
Yeah.
And God has honored you in every trip, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
Isn't that amazing? So I'd like you to talk to our young listeners. We have people very young, starting off, wanting to minister, to serve. They're probably serving now as a volunteer somewhere. Would you speak to them and give them a good advice for moving forward?
Well, the biggest thing I believe is, of course, reading the Word so you have faith for these people. So you need to have a daily plan of reading what God says to you. Mm-hmm. Then I think you need to ask God to give you a hearing ear where you are successful, and then get into those areas. I mean, do people like you in certain areas? Do you have success in those areas? Probably that's part of your process.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have failure in it sometimes? Yes. That's part of your process, too, because you can't give up.
That's
you know,
right.
And when I started in television, I went to a secular station here and met with their board, and they said, well, you're not television material.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think you'll pay your bill.
Oh.
And I believed God wanted me to be on, and one man on the board, not a Christian, said, I think she'll pay her bill. Let's put her on. Now, that's many years ago. They're not on, but I am.
That's right. Yeah. Their TV station went away, and you're still here and doing well.
Yeah, right.
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 I want to put you on the spot a little bit and ask you about the state of the church today. What do you think about? What do you see in America? How do you feel when you walk in some of these pulpits? What are you seeing?
Well, remember, I go mostly to spirit-filled churches and conferences.
I know.
I think, and I have grandchildren, I think they really want God.
Oh,
and
good.
They love the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't think they are so sophisticated, maybe,
mm-hmm.
but I think they're willing to work hard. And personally, you know, I think the greatest title we can ever have is servant.
Yes.
Jesus said he came to serve. If I'm like Jesus, I'm going to serve. That means if I have to clean up the church, or if I have to bring the food, or, you know, even with my neighbors, I have found if you serve them, they'll listen to you.
That's right. Nothing like a cookie.
Nothing like a cookie. You're right.
So, yeah. Ma'am, just give us some advice here about your own personal walk and what you do in private. I know that you read and you pray and you do these things, but your lifestyle as a leader, as a general in the spirit-filled faith, your lifestyle qualified you. Would you give advice to all of us on staying qualified?
Okay, I'm going to give you a tough one.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Joshua 1:8 says, if you meditate on the word day and night, if you do the word day and night, if you speak the word day and night, you will be successful in everything you do.
Hmm.
So if you follow that book, all he had was the Pentateuch. Who would want to memorize Leviticus?
No. Not me.
So he had the Pentateuch. Yep. And if you go through his life, there is no area he's not successful. And he's successful with his family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yes.
So meditating basically means to really think, and I try to memorize one book a year. I don't always get one book, you know, but right now I'm doing Ephesians. So that feeds me. Sometimes I get discouraged with it and think, oh, I'm not getting it, but I keep hold steady, and I do it on planes a lot.
Sure. So are you still doing it right now?
Yes.
You want to share a little bit of Ephesians.
Yes.
Read a little bit of Ephesians
Paul,
to us.
Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ to the saints in Ephesus. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, do you think that helps me saying that?
I know it does.
I know you do.
No, but so it does. Anyway. Yes, it helps you. Yeah. But it helps me. It builds my faith.
Right.
Faith comes by hearing. And just listening to Marilyn Hickey read some Bible verses, not read them, but recite Bible verses, blesses my heart. I felt an anointing come over you just as you started doing that. I did. I really did. I felt some kind of stir in my heart as you started reading it. It's just because it's in you. It's so much a part of who you are.
Yeah.
And that's the part that people don't know about Marilyn Hickey, maybe, is what how deep you go into the Word.
Well, and I think if you meditate on Psalm 139, it helps you in a very personal way. He knows when you sit down and when you get up. Can you imagine God being interested when I stand up or get up?
Mm-hmm.
And if you go through some of those things, he knows your thoughts before you think them.
Uh-oh.
It brings an intimacy with your relationship with God, but you know, it takes discipline. I know that, but that's why I'm saying take on 139 first.
Just memorize 139?
Yeah.
Yep. I've got a lot of memory work. I've done a lot. And I was teaching the book of Mark in my class, and so I wanted to memorize the whole book. I got about 4 chapters in and just ran into
a
brick wall.
But
it's hard. And be busy, you know, be busy with life. It's just hard to... Because you have
I know.
You got to work hard. Airplane's a good place to do it. That's good advice.
Yeah, it is. It's a good place. And
well,
so I'm on a plane a lot. That's a good time for me.
Well, I want to talk to you one more time, just a little bit about your book. We can get it online. We can come to you at marilynandsarah.org. Marilynandsarah.org. Sarah spelled with an H. So I'm going to send people to you to find your book. It's available at bookstores everywhere. It's Not Over Until You Win by Marilyn Hickey. Marilyn, we love you. I want to be like you when I grow up.
Oh, you're
I'm 66, so I'm still young whippersnapper.
Oh, you're young. You've got a good time.
I can still learn a lot from you. If you could tell me one thing as we close this interview about, you know, that I do a lot of writing to Christians, responsible for Charisma Magazine. Would you give me some advice on how to share life stories and share to make charisma stronger, to make what I write better? Would you give me some advice?
I think sharing testimonies is very wonderful, but also challenges. You know, what about memorizing the 23rd Psalm?
Yes.
You know, that starts, and then as you begin to memorize it, and I find with memorizing, you have to say it out loud.
I do, I know.
Then it begins to crack open, and you think, oh my goodness, you know, and you'll get a revelation. And so those revelations are real important. You need to write them down.
Yes, ma'am.
And because that's God talking to you.
Yes, it is.
So,
you make it so simple, you know.
I know.
It's not hard, is it? It's not hard to get close, to
it's
press
discipline.
In. Yeah.
It's discipline.
Oh, that
it's
word.
Discipline.
That's an Ephesians
that
word.
That ugly word.
That shows up a lot in Ephesians. Paul liked to write about that word, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did.
Right.
Well, ma'am, we've come to the end of the show. I want to talk to you for 10 years. I could just sit and listen to you talk and share stories. Well, would you have anything else to say before we end the show?
Yeah, I'd like to tell a testimony about Sarah.
Come on.
You know,
let's hear it.
She's my daughter, and of course, you know, wonderful grandchildren. But I remember when Sarah was at ORU, and she came home one weekend. She'd been in Germany studying. And she said, I don't know if I believe in Jesus anymore. I don't know if you and Dad are going to love me. And I'll never forget thinking, what has happened to you? And the Lord gave me an answer. If you listen and just tell him, I got to have an answer. So I said, Sarah, and I heard myself say this. I'm not this smart. I said, Sarah, when you were born, you didn't believe in Jesus. We don't love you by what you believe in. Mm-hmm. We love you because you're ours.
Right.
And that brought her through. So I'm just saying, you know, learn to listen to God and to say what he says.
That's really good. That's a great principle to have in my life. Just to think about those words, the weight of your words are heavy in a good way. They're instructive.
Good.
They're full of life. So one more time, the name of your book, It's Not Over Until You Win, by Marilyn Hickey, the autobiography of Marilyn Hickey. Ma'am, I'm so honored to have spoken with you. Thank you very much for being on the show.
And thank you for the opportunity.